So I, actually, before I do introduce our speaker, I just want to say I want to compliment all of the teachers, all of the ministers that shared this weekend. I felt taught. I really walked away with so much. And your workshop yesterday was brilliant. It was just brilliant. I learned lessons that I needed to learn. I heard things I needed to be reminded of. And sometimes we don't hear things the first time. There's just sometimes we need to hear a second or a third or the 25th time. And maybe yesterday for me, maybe it was the 25th time. I don't know. But I heard a couple of things yesterday that I'd never heard quite that way. And it's shaken me up a little bit because I realized, oh, man, I got more work to do. Not that I never doubt that. But I got it. Now it's at the surface. Oh, I got the work to do. And so remember, there's no done. And that's what we're here to celebrate, that we're always working in consciousness and we're working to deepen and expand consciousness. And that's what Dr. Ken is about. He is about expanding consciousness. And his leadership, I'm so proud of him as our leader and so proud to now be serving on the Minister's Council that I get to kind of hang in that space with these individuals. Please give him a warm CSLNJ welcome. Dr. Ken Gordon.
I'm still tingling from gratitude and awe. It's such a pleasure and such a privilege for me to be able to work with Erica and Lisa as much as I do around different places I go. It's magnificent. It's a huge perk, and to work with you as well. And you've just done a great job of building community here. And what a great rally this last weekend. It was wonderful. It was marvelous, and I agree with you. There was a lot of deep. It just kept going deeper and deeper and deeper. And we really talked about how to break free from that social status that we kind of get stuck in, that strata of life. Those of you who were here know full well what I'm talking about, how to perhaps put ourselves in the position where what we can do is we can really step into that flame of the awakened one and move forward into the truth of who we are, as opposed to the mitote or the fog of where we think we're going and how we're going. So, you know, and last night in my contemplations and thinking when I got home, I was kind of contemplating the weekend, and I was feeling out the various things that were going on, and I was trying to associate myself with the lessons that were being given, not in words, but in the feeling sense of what actually was happening, and the awakening or the blossoming of the possibility and the potential for everyone here. And I remember Erica had asked me a question, how do you do this? What's next? How do you step into doing this, the next phase, the next way to do it? And I believe that probably the answer is to dissolve and dissipate and get rid of a lot of the social stigmas that we carry with us in our life, to be able to step out of the worldly objectives and instead really, really go to the values that are eternal in our being so that we can bring those forward. And it's appropriate that this be the day that I give this talk because, as you know, some of you, I'm sure, this is Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday was all about this. It was all about the veering away and the stretching away from that concept of living to the expectations. I gave a poem yesterday in my workshop by Mary Oliver, and one of the lines that I used that she had in her poem, which I think was good, is all the cacophony of voices that are screaming out, heal my life, heal my life, heal my life. That demand upon us by society to stay in that one route, that one channel, that one rut, maybe, to just keep moving forward instead of being the difference we want to see in the world, instead of operating from that sense of clarity of who we are and bringing our whole self to the world instead of only bringing a portion of who we are, if that. And so you know, that's what this weekend was about. And so I would like to now talk about the Palm Sunday story, and I'd like to relate it to how that fits into what we've been conversing with here for the last 48 hours. And it's an interesting story, it really is. And if you happen to be not from a Christian background, then I would suggest that you take it, like so many stories, as a myth, which is fine. Because, you know, Joseph Campbell said that every story ever written is a story about you, that the real meaning comes from within you. And it's a requirement that we begin to look at the stories within the Bible or within our traditions from the same way, instead of holding it outside of ourselves and looking at it as though it is something that we need to reach, stretch out from our own being to receive. Instead, what we have to do is we have to look at it as something from within us, so that what we can do is we can fall back to the resonance of it. And the story of Palm Sunday is the story of Jesus when he was finally recognized by the multitudes for all the great works that he did. You know, he'd been off doing his Science of Mind classes, and he'd gone and seen. Well, we got to relate it. You know, because it's direct relationship with you and your life, if you choose to accept it. I don't know where you want to step into the story, where you are, and how you want to step into it, but it is your story. And he'd gone off, you know, and he began his studies. He was baptized by his cousin John, and then he began traveling around the countryside, and slowly but surely followers began to come to him because he was demonstrating the light of the Christ. And in those days and ages, what they were doing is they were looking for somebody to change their life. They were looking for somebody to heal their life. And they were calling upon him to step forward and do it. So he went around, he turned water into wine, he fed the masses, and he did all those great things. You know, he gave the blind man sight and had the lame man walk, and he hadn't risen from the dead yet, so... But people had really high hopes for him. You know, they looked at him like we might look at a politician today. Or, you know, we might look at him and be all inspired by it. Sort of like Dr. Chris's talk last night, where everybody said, wow, that's so great, you know. So he'd done his work for 2 or 3 years, and he'd been equally as amazing every single day of that time, bringing these things that were so-called miracles into being. And people had recognized him, and so they were waiting for him in Jerusalem because they knew that he was going to arrive. And so, you know, getting set up to go there, even then, I think that he knew what he was doing. He had a clear picture of what was actually happening. And the cacophony of voices was calling out, heal my life, heal my life, heal my life. Be the Messiah. Be the new king of Jerusalem. Be the new David. Come and save me. Come and save me. People have been looking to Jesus to be saved by him ever since, and even at that time they were. You know, he was an incredible disappointment to the people at that time. He really was. Because, you know, he didn't buy into that. He didn't buy into that worldly organizational structure. He didn't do that. He came to bring those eternal values. And he refused to surrender his own spirituality, his own truth, and his own life over to the rules and the policies and the procedures and the organizational structure of life. Even though entering into Jerusalem, and Jerusalem metaphysically means the city of peace, even though entering into Jerusalem, entering into that peace to bring peace to the world, even though he could have gone through with it, he could have had all the riches. He could have had palaces and servants and slaves and all the food he could eat. He could have all the power that was possible at that particular point if he wanted to. All he had to do was play the game of society. All he had to do was step forward and do that. But in order to do that, what he had to do was he had to go against his own eternal values. He had to give up who he was in order to get what was being offered him. And it was being offered by people who said, they said, you know, you are our Savior. Come, do it. And he knew it before he entered Jerusalem. And I'll tell you how I know he knew it. Because in those days when there was a huge victory, what they would do is they would build these great triumphal arches. You've been to Europe or you've been around, you've seen them, you've seen pictures of them. They would build those before they ever entered the city. And then what they would do is they would bring their armies in and they would march their armies in. And everybody would be out there and they would put palm fronds down. They would lay the palm fronds down because palm fronds were actually the symbol for victory. On Solomon's castle or palace, they had palm fronds carved into the face of it. It's the symbol of victory is what it represents. So they know that as these great conquerors would come in like Constantine. Constantine, when he beat Maximilius out of Rome, came in and it was a day and a half for his army to walk through the triumph. And all the people were expected to celebrate him all the time. And it was a day and a half to do that. Then it took 2 days for the 100,000 slaves that he captured to come in through and follow him back up again. So they were used to these triumphal entrances after that was there. And the people wanted Jesus to be that triumphal person. And so they set it up and he knew it. So what he did was instead of getting a great stallion to ride in on, he called for a donkey. Not just a donkey. He called for a colt donkey, which metaphysically means the donkey is representative of a couple of things. The first thing it's representative of human thought that's being directed when it's being ridden. So as he would ride the donkey, he was directing, metaphysically speaking, directing the thought that went with it. And metaphorically also, it represents peace itself. And the fact that it's a colt represents humility. So he knew, he had his disciples go out and get him a donkey to enter Jerusalem with. And still the people didn't catch on and they still waded up and down the rows and threw palms onto the road and onto the street as he rode his donkey down the street and entered the city and they were waving at him because he was victorious. He was coming to get rid of the Roman rulership and to create a new Israel, to create a new government of Israel. And he entered in there and that's what they expected, except those that were near him knew that what he was talking about all the time he was doing that was he was talking about not doing it. He was saying, I'm not gonna do that. I'm going to die. I'm going to go in and I'm going to become born again. I'm going to be resurrected. I'm going to be renewed. And so he rode his donkey in and the people, the hordes, thought that he was there to save them. You got people in your life who are waiting for you to save them? Maybe perhaps that's why you do the job you do. Maybe perhaps that's why you live the life you live. Maybe you were taught somewhere along the line that you and of yourself have little value, that is what you can give to the family that counts. This was the mentality that was going on there. But Jesus, the teacher, refused to see it. Instead, what he did was he stuck to his own being. He stuck to his own truth. He stuck to his own example. He stuck to his own values. He stuck to his own authenticity, to his own actualization, and to his own truth. And to his own divinity. Know ye not that ye are gods? He wouldn't give that up. He wouldn't trade that for what was being offered him. He wouldn't let it be known. And when he got in, what he did was, the first thing he did was he went to the temple and he cleared out the temple because it wasn't the place for the monetary things that were happening. Can you imagine if one of your presidents or my prime minister decide to go and clear out the temple? What a disappointment that would be for a lot of people. And yet, that's holding to that truth, to saying that, you know, before me put that which is spirit, that which is truth, that which is my higher power. Put that before me, before everything else. I will not compromise my integrity and trade my truth for the trappings and for the petty little parades and the presentations and the celebrations and the titles. I will not trade who I am for that. I won't give it up. I refuse to. Instead, what I'm going to do is hold to that truth and I'm going to bring it into being. And I don't care if you all follow. Although he did encourage his followers to follow him. He encouraged his followers, though, to follow him away from that worldly avarice and instead to move towards that heavenly inward goal and knowing and knowledge, to move towards that truth. You too can do such great works if you believe in God. And that's how he set it up and made it work and motivated and moved forward into it. So this week, what we've been talking about, this last couple of days, what we've been talking about is we've been talking about that trap that we fall into. That trap of our race mind consciousness, of our collective unconsciousness, that lays there and says, fall asleep here, but do what I want you to do so that you can provide me with what I need in my life. You know, it's a tough thing. It takes courage to be that creative spirit within your own being and within your own life. It takes uncommon courage. Very few people have demonstrated it throughout the years. Most have traded off, have they not? I certainly remember my times of trades. They never worked very well, but I remember my times when I would trade my own being for something in return. When I would compromise my truth for something in return. And just like that, because and the way that it happens and the way that it sets up is that he was a terrible disappointment. Within a week after his triumphal entrance as the victor of Jerusalem, they killed him. Why? Because he didn't march to their orders. He didn't do what they expected. They didn't live their life the way that they thought he should live his life as this victor, as this person who brings power into the world, who brings force into the world to be able to create the end results out of it. And to this day, we celebrate. We celebrate what, though? Oftentimes, we don't know what the clarity is. What his teaching was in that march was really clear. His teaching was, I will not compromise my God within in return for the trappings of this great life that are sitting out there. And for 2,000 years, we've sat and watched that, and we've gone through it, and constantly and consistently swapped ourselves back and forth in return for the trappings that are out there instead of sitting with the groundedness within our own being. And it's within that groundedness that we get a different result. We get a different form. We get a different experience in this world than the one that we have right now. We actually create a world that has some freshness into it. We create a world that has the possibility and potential for all. Instead, what we do is we utilize those power gifts that we have, and we trade off our own being and our own lives to be there. I'm not the first person to recognize this. You might have recognized it. But I'll give you a quote, one of my favorites. Here it goes. Too many humans would gladly trade a rational world for a superstitious one if it calms their fears and gives them advantage over their fellows. People are always afraid to think. And integrity is always a prisoner of vanity. And common sense is easily eclipsed by greed. You know who wrote that? Benjamin Franklin. You know, this is what we do, or up until now. But there's an awakening that's taking place out in the world around us right now. There really is. There's a victory that has to be won, that's coming together even as we look at it. You're seeing it in the world, are you not? Aren't you seeing some of the old institutions that we had beginning to crumble and fall apart? Aren't you seeing that the pathway and the passageway of what's happening will not allow it to go back to that archaic time when there is rich and there is poor, where there is the mass rabble and there is the wealthy leadership, where middle class began to expand during some of that period of that 2,000 years, it now begins to shrink. And what it requires us as individuals to do is to stop trading ourselves for the advantage over our fellows. To stop giving away our integrity for our greed. Instead, to really recognize and know that the truth that we need to have in the world today exists within us. Within our own being. We all know this. We very well. I'm as good a cynic as anyone, so I can be sitting here justifying why this wouldn't work in my life. I can do that. I can bring forward the reasons why I should continue to live my life in the manner that I used to live it for the advantage that I expect to get back out of it, because I can justify giving that advantage and using the advantage to create a world that works for everyone. But that's not the way it works. That's not the way it's designed. It's not the way it was laid out to be. Instead, what we can choose to do is we can choose to live within our own truth and within our own being. This is the message that was given by that mythological story or that true story about Jesus the teacher. It was the transformation of him going through this experience in order for him to be born again as that clear thinker, that person who has risen. You know, we did this workshop for a couple of days, and I know that many of you were sparked by it. And a lot of you, like Erica, said, oh, tell me what the next step is. Tell me what the next step is. What do I do now? I feel it within me. I resonate with what you're saying. But I don't know how to do it. What do I do? What do I have to do to make this real for me? What do I have to become in order to make this real? I don't want to step on Michelle's Easter story, but you notice that when he died, he was born again. And that is the story. The story is that when you follow that pathway, when you follow that pathway of that true, authentic self, of that Christ consciousness within you, and you refuse to trade off what you know to be the truth, what you are resonant within your very core of your being, within all 75 billion cells of you, when you're clean on that and you're clear on that and you walk that pathway, you know what? People are going to point out to you that you're dumb. They're going to point out you're going in the wrong direction. If you're not doing what they want strong enough, they might even hurt you. But it doesn't matter, because it's time for us to really move past that organizational structures that we're looking at that we call this life and move into those eternal values. It has to happen. And to do it, each and every one of us can help each other by doing it. A spiritual community like this exists for that purpose. It exists so that when you choose to do that, I can say to you, bless you. I might be the only person in New Jersey who says, bless you for taking that step, for doing that action. Bless you for being who you are truly. You see, when you go out there, it's not going to happen, because they've been throwing palms down for you because you're doing the victory march to get all the stuff. They don't want you to be clear. They don't want you to be clean. And it's not a conspiracy, and it's not some individual. It's the social consciousness of the world. Don't upset the apple cart. You know, when you upset the apple cart, the beauty of it is, and believe me, I've been in leadership long enough to know that I've seen them turned over. And you put them back up again, and here's what the beauty is. As people put the apples back in the cart again, you can actually see what's going in the cart. We need, as a society, to resonate with what we know to be true. We know what we want. Every person here, we can say, we can say, oh, I can see justifications of why it shouldn't be that way. But everyone here wants the same thing, wouldn't you say? I would. I saw the beautiful little boy here. Don't you want that little baby to have all? Don't you want him to be in touch with who he is? Doesn't he just open your heart up and make you sing? Well, you're only 40 or 20 or 30 years older than he is. I want the same thing for you. And so do you. We don't want people to live in pain and suffering. We don't want people to live in hurt. We want people to live a life of joy, of awe. And to do that, what's required is that we actually take the step to start living in the principles that we know are real, to live within that resonance of who we are and not swap it out for something else. The answer to the next step is quit trading your soul for things that shine.
Start living your principles and living your life clearly from the ground, from the bottom, grounded. That becomes your foundation. Refuse to give up your integrity. Don't do it. Don't do it for anything. Because it's more than just you that we're talking about. It's everything. So Mary Oliver says, heal me, heal me. The cacophony of voices. Heal me, heal me, heal me, heal me, heal me. Heal yourself. He closes it with you. She closed it by saying, you know, and saved the only life she could ever, he could ever save, and that was their own. Right? That's where you start. You start by doing it for you and coming forward. And you know, another conversation that came up in my workshop was, well, when I do it that way, sometimes I'm not compensated. And the thing is that it, yes, you will be. If you do it for the right reasons, if you do it for that truth within you, if you do it within the resonant truth of who you are. We have a magnificent opportunity laying before us. We have a zeitgeist that's happening. They've happened throughout the years, these coming together of like minds. And we have a coming together of like minds. It's demonstrated all over the place right now. We're seeing the institutions crumble, and what we're doing is putting the assets back into them to be able to shore them up and hold them up. It's no different than the day and age 2,000 years ago when Jesus was there and the Pharisees were trying to hold up the Romans, etc., etc. We're in the same position in the same place. And the difference is what Jesus taught was Jesus taught that you too can do it. And the answer to this is this. We're the ones who need to do it. We have to stop reaching out and looking for saviors, and we have to start taking the responsibility within our own being and our own lives to transform our world so that we too have to go through that thing called death in order to get there. It's all about release. I cannot move from here to over there unless I let go of here. We have to be able to let go of what we're hanging on to and grasping on to. Otherwise, you know what's going to happen? We're going to wake up and find out that we're grasping a corpse. And the truth is that the real life, the real truth, lays and resides over there in the eternal value that we know so well within ourselves what it is. And it's not just us in this select little group of religious scientists or new thoughters. The world knows what it is. 7 billion of us know what it is. The master teacher said those who are poor in spirit will always be with us. So out of 7.5 billion, I'll give you 7 billion to know what it is. We know what we're feeling inside ourselves. We know what we want. We know what the truth is. We know that suffering no longer is necessary. We know that violence is no longer necessary. We know these things, but we cannot afford to trade them anymore. This is a teaching that is cutting edge. It is a philosophy that is cutting edge, even though it's thousands of years older than the story of Jesus. And I will tell you something. It's time that we wake up, and it's time that we start living that teaching in the truth of who we are instead of trading it away for something else. This is our greatest problem. And because we're cutting edge, we're on the edge. And that means that it's up to us to be the ones to start doing it. For those who are given much, much is expected. Well, you've been given a lot. Now something's expected out of you. You know that you create the world. You know you create your own experience through your mind. You know that your belief becomes your reality and your experience. You know that you are God's. So let's start acting like it, and we'll be the point of that arrow. Odds are we won't be recognized. It doesn't matter. What matters is that resonant feeling within us that knows what it is to step into the fire and be consumed by the awakened one. That feeling and that sense that we resonate with when we hear the music and when we do what we do. We're blessed to be in this time, in this space, in this place at this time. And who I want you to be is I want you to be the kind of people who lead the way. And who I want me to be is the kind of person that leads the way. And so I'm willing to let go of what I'm holding on to in order to get what is real and of value in this world and in this life. And I bless you. I'll close with a treatment. Let's come together recognizing and know that there truly is God and absolutely nothing else. that which is eternal resides within us, that which is truth resonates to us at a level constant and consistent in our conscious mind. Let's know that truth comes forward, and that as it enters into our being and into our experience, it is welcomed. It is recognized for its value. Let's know further that as it enters into our being, it attracts to it everything that is required. All of the courage, all of the nurturing, all of the support, all of the love that is necessary to ground it in who we are. Let us live our lives in the light, constantly and consistently. And let's know that higher power that is the truth of who we are throws the palm fronds of victory down and ushers out that worldly part of us. It dissolves and dissipates our need to be able to have something, to demonstrate something outside of the truth of who we are. Accepting and expecting this, I give grateful thanks that it's so. And I release it back into that which is the universal consciousness, universal mind, and universal intelligence, which we all are connected to. I let it go, knowing that from this moment forward, this world is changed at depth. I accept it, and together we ground this by saying, and so it is. God bless you.